This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is your Sports Bros. Good Monday. I'm Rob, and Big Sook is right over there. I see him.
Yes.
I saw it.
Mike Lynch is here. We have more football talk to get to. The NFL was pretty wild, as you may or may not have seen.
Yeah, I would say that, universally being called the greatest weekend of football ever.
We're 2 hours into our show, and we have only covered one of the four games.
Yeah, boy, we spent a lot of time on Buffalo and KC.
We sure did.
Yeah.
A lot to chew on there.
Well, it was by far the best game. I mean, the other games had great endings, but, I mean, especially Tennessee, Cincinnati, and then even Green Bay and San Francisco, those weren't good games. In fact, the Rams game was a blowout for 3.5 quarters. So, really, the one... that was head and shoulders, and it was the cherry on top because it was the last one too, was KC Buffalo.
Well, if you want hot Bengals Titans talk or hot Packers Niners talk or hot Bucks Rams talk, you're going to get it this hour.
Yes.
Right here.
The big conspiracy theory.
I don't trust you're going to fit all three of those games into three
probably
seconds.
Not. But we also have to have Hudson Swafford talk. So
yes. I mean, clearly was that the Amex, whatever the hell it was.
Well, the American Express Championship.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I want a shot by shot breakdown.
I didn't know who Hudson Swafford was. I thought it was not even a person.
Yeah, he won the tournament. Hudson Swafford, this year's Harris English.
Oh God, it's so good.
That has got to be like the most rich guy golf player name ever.
Oh, 100%. And
Hudson,
by the way,
Swafford,
he looks just like you would think.
He's the Stetson Bennett IV of the world of golf.
My name is Hudson Swafford.
Played a nice little round yesterday though. He was real strong.
I love
real strong fella.
I love how like one narrative, like each game gets a narrative, like something that people hold on to for the reason with the Bucks, Rams. Have you seen all the conspiracy theory about how the umpire didn't spot the ball on the Cooper Kupp spike?
Well, he did. It just was off camera.
No, the back judge did.
Oh,
yeah. So which, you know, that's that. Can,
and that can't happen.
That can happen. Happens all the time.
Okay, well, you figured it would.
I know. That's why I'm fascinated. The last 2 days, I've just seen like nonstop people on Twitter with the umpire because he comes running into the frame as the Rams are spiking the ball. There was actually like some sort of narrative that somehow the NFL was actively trying to screw Tom Brady out of another Super Bowl.
So the idea was, because we learned, some of us learned in the Cowboys Niners game,
yes,
that the umpire has to touch the ball,
yes,
before you snap it for a spike.
Yes. That now we're using that.
The Rams.
That knowledge.
Well, they had the same thing. They had to spike the ball quickly, and they're running down the field to do so. If you watch the replay, you don't see who sets the ball.
No. And the umpire never comes into frame until after they are spiking the ball. And so, correctly so, everyone's like, the umpire couldn't have touched the ball. So what the hell? Were the Rams getting the getting favored, or were the Cowboys screwed? Neither.
It's all fixed.
When there's a deep pass down the field and the umpire can't get there, the back judge does it.
It's all fixed.
So if you watch when the Rams are getting ready to spike it, you see the back judge backpedaling away from the ball because the back judge just got done spotting it. But apparently, we love conspiracy theories, and that's the new one in the NFL, is that somehow the Rams were getting preferential treatment with the umpire not spotting the ball.
We have a club tonight. I have red wine news and a real-life weekend at Bernie's. But right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light. Number 5.
Ducks men's basketball suddenly cruising. They beat Washington last night, 84-56.
Yeah, I think at one point, was it like 47-13? I mean, it was just...
It was 40-8.
Yeah, that's a hate crime again. Literal violence was committed.
I turned it over to watch it.
Yeah.
And it was 40-8. Okay. And I instantly turned it off.
I saw that. Kudos to... I'm not sure if it was the official Ducks Twitter or if it was just a Ducks basketball like Twitter account. But UW posted a little thing like they were doing their pregame like hype thing, and it said we're ready, and then some Oregon account retweeted it and then just put above apparently not, and then had the score, which, you know what, kudos to you.
Ducks are 12-6. They are fourth in the Pac-12. They've won 6 straight, but they remain unranked this week. They will get Colorado Tuesday and Oregon State Saturday. Of course, both those games here on The Fan. Top 5 this week: Auburn, Gonzaga, Arizona, Baylor, and Kansas.
Did you see the Gonzaga news over the weekend?
Stockton. Yeah.
Johnny Stockton. Tickets revoked.
We got a whole thing on that tomorrow.
He's insane.
Is Sean Payton committed to the Saints? Report over the weekend, he is not quite yet. The coach has 3 years left on his deal. They say he is yet to inform the team if he'll be back. He is on vacation. He is ghosting everyone close to him, so no one knows what the hell is going on.
And I guess that we saw this like a week ago, that there is a network bidding war for his services.
What do you mean, like?
Yeah, they want him.
TV?
They want him in the booth. So
that's big money in the booth. You can make more money in the booth than you can on the sideline.
Yeah, if you're burnt out, Sean Payton's a very smart guy, and for whatever reason, I don't know, they think he's going to be great at it. Might be a reason to, you can sit out, take a couple years off, still scratch that football itch, and you're right, make an S ton of cash.
Yeah, doesn't Romo make like $20 million or something?
Makes a lot.
A year? I don't even think he's that good.
Well, I think he might be the highest paid color guy in the biz.
Number 3.
Your Blazers just rattled off 4 of 6 on the road trip for some reason.
Yeah, for whatever reason, they've decided to be good. I don't like it.
They are home to Minnesota tomorrow, Dallas on Wednesday, before 4 more on the road. They are up to 10th in the West. They are only 3 games back of 7th. However, they are 3.5 games back from 14th.
Well, Lillard came out and spoke over the weekend for the first time since the surgery, and he did talk about wanting to get right and understanding that maybe a draft pick is the best way to go. But he did say that he'll kind of decide what to do, and part of it will be where they're at. So, look, if Portland makes a little bit of run here and they're in playoff contention, sure sounded like Lillard's open to the idea of not sitting out and coming back.
Well, he said it wouldn't make sense for him to play for a draft pick. He said he's not capable of that.
Yes.
So if they're doing that, he's basically just saying, won't be back.
But here we are. They're winning games.
Yeah.
And that 11-game stretch is coming up at the end of the season.
They're not tanking, man. They're going to end up in the playoffs.
And they're going to mess this up so badly.
You think they're going to the playoffs?
I do. I think they're going to be in striking distance. I think Lillard's going to come back, and they're going to find a way to get the 7 or 8 seed and then get drilled in the first round of the playoffs.
Just what they need.
And lose their first round.
Yeah. Romo, by the way, $18 million.
$18 million?
$18 million this year.
Mm. Yeah. Conference Championship week is set in the NFL. The Cincinnati Bengals will visit the Kansas City Chiefs. Noon kickoff, CBS on Sunday. And then you have the Niners and Rams in the NFC. They are playing for the third time this season. Niners winning the first two.
Shanahan has won six in a row against Sean McVay, by the way.
He has. It is a 3:30 kick on Fox, that one in Los Angeles. So the Rams, fun fact about the Rams, if they win that game.
Yeah, SoFi, man.
They get to play the Super Bowl in their home stadium, which you would say, well, wait a minute, is that the first time that's ever happened? No, it happened last year.
Yeah, the Bucs.
Tampa did it.
Yeah. Won it in Raymond James.
Wouldn't that be something? That had never happened until Tampa. We could get it 2 years in a row.
I did enjoy people tweeting out that now that the Rams have won, unfortunately, they have to go on the road to play the 49ers at SoFi.
Yeah. They're trying really hard to prevent it from being a Niners home game this time. Because there's so many Niner fans
there.
There's
so many Niner fans show up and Rams fans don't really exist. I just think that's fantastic.
I love that. So there it is. Sunday. Going to be a wild, wild. Well, maybe it's not. I don't know. You think it's going to be a wild Sunday?
I don't. I really don't. I think the NFC game could be good. I think the Chiefs are going to give Cincinnati what for.
Travis Dye is now at USC. CJ Verdell is staying in the NFL draft. He is not coming back to the Ducks.
Yep.
So no Dye, no Verdell.
No, I mean, that's a blow. We all kind of were under the impression that CJ was going to come back, and maybe that was one of the reasons. A lot of talent there, but just not a lot of experience for Oregon. Look, this is a bigger blow than Dye leaving. And it's a little bit of a surprise. Again, I don't know where he projects in the NFL. I don't think he is a he's not like a must have. But hey, man, I've never fault anyone for taking a crack at the NFL. He'll get drafted. I believe that, even coming off the injury. I just don't think he's a star in the making at the next level.
All right. Hey, did you see that? Brian Billick joins Arizona State staff.
Oh,
how about that?
Okay.
Going to coach with Herm.
Well, he's been trying for a while to get back into the NFL, and he really can't find a spot. So
why does no one want Brian Billick?
I don't know. But
he won a Super Bowl.
He's been trying for a while, and it just
that's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think he's done some of the XFL, you know, that, what is it, the Spring League and all that crap, the AF. He's done a lot of that. And he's just one of those guys that, for whatever reason, can't find another NFL job.
People must hate him because that's a good old boy network of
– yeah.
Of dudes, and,
but,
you know,
there's a lot of guys like that, like Jim Fossil and guys that are just kind of on the outs.
The late Jim Fossil.
The late Jim Fossil.
He's dead.
Guys that were on the out. Denny Green as well was one of these. You know,
yeah, but he got multiple.
Yeah, but he wanted to get back into coaching at the NFL level, and he just, there wasn't a place for him, so he started doing kind of those offshoot leagues.
Saturdays are made for football. Crack a Coors Light. Forget about your 9-to-5 and focus on the Ducks. 4th-and-1. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment. Made you chill. Let's get back at it. I will give you a choose-your-own-adventure. Which game would you like to go to next? Niners, Packers, Rams, Bucks, or Bengals, Tidies?
Ooh.
We're going to try to get to all of them, but as Mike said, that's a ambitious.
I don't know. Let's go Rams-Bucks.
Rams-Bucks talk next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, let's get back after it. Bills Chiefs talk earlier in our show. You can go get our podcast at 1080thefan.com or anywhere podcasts are housed.
Disseminated.
Disseminated.
Available. We covered that thing about every which way you can.
Yeah, so now to Rams Bucks, and we'll get to Niners Packers. And Bengals Titans, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see if we can. Well, this one, I mean, look, for the first 3.5 quarters, you don't really have to talk about anything. The Rams whooped their ass. And it just looked like Tampa's offensive line wasn't holding up, and they weren't.
So Wirfs didn't play.
No. And Jansen was nowhere near healthy. But even their starting left tackle was getting worked and abused. Smith was, and then the right tackle. We've seen this before. The Rams aren't a great defensive team. They have one good corner and an elite D-line. And when that D-line is hunting, it can make teams look really, really average. And when Tampa Bay didn't have their collection of receivers and didn't have their full offensive line, that's exactly what happened, is the Rams just went into hunting mode and the Bucs couldn't handle it. And for 3-plus quarters, their offense looked absolutely inept, and why the Rams built up a, 27-3 lead, right?
Boy, the Bucs' injuries were, especially at the receiver position, were so apparent that game in particular.
Yeah.
Johnson dropped two balls, and Mike Evans was barely involved in the game plan, it felt like, until late.
Yeah.
Such a weird game.
And you could see it, too. Like, that's one of those that every time Tampa had a chance to make a play, whether there was a drop or a penalty or there was a sack, and it just, they could get nothing going. And look, I'll give the Rams a lot of credit. I was not a believer in the Rams all year. I think this is a top-heavy roster, and we've seen it at times this year where they look really bad. But we know that their A game is as good as most teams in the NFL, and give them credit. They brought their A game until they didn't, when they tried to be the Rams and actively made an attempt to blow that game. And we thought for a minute that they had, until Tampa Bay decided to give it back to them.
Yeah, they fumbled it four times from the end of the half on, which is just inexcusable.
Can't do it.
Inexplicable. And they allowed Tom Brady to do what Tom Brady does.
Yeah.
And he made the comeback. They were up 27-3, and Brady got him tied.
And even after some of those errors, the defense still came up. I think they stopped Tampa in the fourth quarter twice on downs, and then they still kept giving him the ball.
Yeah, that was really just the Rams crapping the bed.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter, because they ended up winning on a broken play at the end of the game and setting up the game-winning field goal. But if they had lost that, oh, my God.
Well, and when they scored that to tie it up, I was like, there's no way. I mean, this broke their spirit, and, you know, game over. And then, again, much like we were talking about the Bills at the end of the game, and give credit to Kansas City for making those plays and give credit to the Rams for making the plays. Those are two big throws. But how many ways can you screw that up if you're Tampa? Like, you would think that you might want to guard the best non-quarterback in the NFL in Cooper Kupp. You just let him casually catch that one and then get out of bounds, right? You tackle him in bounds, the game is over.
Well, they sacked Stafford on the first play.
Well, yeah, because Stafford tried to do that weird quarterback draw thing.
So then they only had 35 seconds, and he hits Kupp to the sideline, and I think the next one was Kupp down the middle of the field.
Yes, it was only those two plays. And they even said on that Cooper Kupp was never supposed to get the ball. All that was designed is to have Kupp try to run some people off so they could get something to the middle of the field and then maybe again get a spike. And lo and behold, the Buccaneers ran a cover zero, so total man, and they were blitzing, except Levante David didn't blitz. Sue almost got home on his own, or might have been Vita Vea, I'm not sure which one. But had Levante David blitz, he probably would have got there, and he didn't, and he wouldn't have been able to throw the ball. But they just ran cover zero, and Winfield just let Cooper Kupp run right by him.
Unbelievable.
I'm not sure who played worse the final 25-second defense, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Buffalo Bills. Flip a coin. But Stafford, that's a beautiful throw under pressure.
The Green Bay Packers special teams would like a word?
Yeah. I mean, they say this all the time, that more NFL games are lost than they're won, and I think that was true. Over this divisional round, there were teams that just absolutely S'd the bed and allowed opportunities. And that, again, give credit. That's a monster throw by Stafford. Kupp doing what Cooper Kupp does. He's so damn good. And, you know, that's the end of the Bucs, and might be the end of Tom Brady.
Well, the other thing too about that was that kicker, Matt Gay, for the Rams.
He used to be a Buck, right?
He did, but he missed a... Did you see that field goal that he missed short?
Yeah.
Boy, you don't see that often unless it's like a 60-plus yard kick.
Yeah.
That was like a 40-something yard kick, and he missed it short.
Yeah, it's very strange.
And they didn't really talk about it on the broadcast. I'm like, I was sitting there like, he made it, you know, because it looked good.
Yeah.
Because Gay's a good kicker.
Yeah.
And then they go, nope, no good. Sure. Like, he missed it short. Did he duff a kick?
It's I don't know how else you do it. Like you're chipping the you hit a chip shot. You're like, oh, that's on. Oh no, it's 10 yards short of the green.
Oh my God. Yeah. So then I was thinking, well, Matt Gay's not going to make this kick.
Yeah.
You know, at the end, Butker for the Chiefs. We said even though he'd had a kind of a rough game, there was no way he was missing that last kick. You just had that feel.
Yeah.
Matt Gay, he's going to miss this
right down the middle,
and he made it.
Yep.
You know, it's a good weekend when Tom Brady makes another huge comeback and we don't even talk about it.
No.
You know,
yep.
Like that, like Brady, I almost did it again.
Did Brady make the comeback or did the Rams make the comeback?
That's part of it.
There was a bit of a difference.
Yeah, you still got to make the plays, dude.
You do. And Evans finally got behind Ramsey and he made a nice throw there. And then Ronald Jones, you know, or not Ronald Jones, but Leonard Fournette with a great play at the goal line to avoid a diving safety or linebacker and bounce out. I really did. I sat there and I was like, Tom Brady has sold his soul because they're going to find a way to win this. And then they didn't. And, you know, after the game, it was interesting that, you know, Brady was pretty noncommittal. And there was a lot of talk before this game quietly that win or lose, this is it for Tom Brady, because much like Aaron Rodgers, these teams won't look the same. Now, the Packers are in a much worse salary cap spot, but Tampa brought back everybody this year. And this is a short-term fix. They are going to have to make tough decisions. Brady knows coming back, this will not be as good a team as he had these last 2 years. And so some people have speculated that maybe this is finally the one where Brady says goodbye.
Well, he still is awesome. But at the same time, you see some old in him, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought it was great that they finally flagged him for bitching.
After he got lit up
up. I get why he was pissed, but yeah. Jesus, nobody's benefited from the rules of not hitting quarterbacks more than Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So shut the hell. He's always bitching to the refs, and they finally flagged him for it. Yeah. That was his first flagrant, I guess, that he's ever gotten. I thought that was great that they threw a flag on him.
And it was true 15 years ago. It was true 5 years ago. It's true now. It's his and every other quarterback's kryptonite. Hit him, and he looks mortal, and he looked absolutely mortal in that game because – the Rams were just...
It was a bad matchup.
They were just killing the front
It was a bad matchup because the Bucs were banged up on the offensive line.
Yeah.
And the Rams, as you said, their defense isn't that great statistically. It's just that they have Von Miller, and he looks freaking phenomenal now.
Yep.
And Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald continue being...
They're just... It's a bad matchup.
Best player in the NFL? Question mark?
So...
Look, to his standards, supposedly he had a down year, and... You know, I think he's still the highest rated Pro Football Focus defensive lineman in the league. And then he goes out and does that in these last handful of games in the playoffs. He's been dominant, but it's not just them. Greg Gaines has been great for them. The UW product in there crushing the pocket. Leonard Floyd has been resurgent. They just, like I said, they hunt, man. If you get into obvious passing situations and you can't run the ball, that front for the Rams is as good as any in the league.
I do have a question. Curious what you guys thought on the Eric Weddle, Mike Evans hit that they didn't call a personal foul.
Yeah.
Because the ball hit the ground.
Yeah.
That was one of the stranger things I feel like I've seen all weekend. And both the rules analyst and the official on the field said it. The ball hit the ground. It was a dead ball. But I still was sitting there like, did he not just hit a defenseless receiver?
I thought it was weird too, because the idea, like if you get a receiver that goes over the middle and the ball is over his head, is uncatchable, and you get lit up, it's a 15-yard penalty. I did not know that was the thing, that if the ball hits the ground, it's dead. I was really surprised by that. I was not aware of that it counted as a dead ball foul.
Me also, no comprende, can't help you.
Yeah. This kind of goes back to, like I said, people were doing the conspiracy theory thing, which is ridiculous. If you didn't see it again, when the Rams had to spike the ball, yes, the umpire didn't touch the ball. The back judge did. They do it all the time on deep passes. It's the umpire job to spot the ball, but on plays where he can't get there, like deep throws, the back judge does it. And that's what happened here. There was no conspiracy. It's ridiculous.
Oh, shut up.
But I will say that there were a lot of calls that didn't go Tampa's way, which again, after Tom Brady's career, maybe it was good to have a game where it didn't go their way. It just, anything that was a 50-50 call felt like it did not go Tampa Bay's way for the first 3.5 quarters.
Would you like the list of quarterbacks who have never lost to Tom Brady in the postseason?
Yes.
Okay.
Assuming Matthew Stafford's won.
Eli Manning.
That will haunt him, the fact that Eli Manning owns Tom Brady.
Ryan Tannehill.
1-0.
Mark Sanchez.
Is he 2-0 against him?
I don't know.
I know he had at least the one. That was the can't wait.
Nick Foles.
A who's who of great quarterbacks.
Jake Plummer. And
hey,
Matt Stafford. That's, how about that list?
It's a ridiculous list. Look, and I am not a Rams guy. I'm not a huge Matthew Stafford guy, but I felt good for Matthew Stafford that, you know, for all the talk about him and in the middle of the year, it didn't look like that was going the right way.
He played great.
He's played really well these last two games, and good for him. That's a. For all the criticism he's taken over the years in Detroit, it's nice to see him silence some people, including me.
Did you see the viral video today of the Lions fan wearing the Stafford jersey going eight bleep when he hit the deep pass to Cooper Kupp?
Yes.
That was awesome to see.
Very excited for his former Lion, Matt Stafford, that guy.
Well, again.
All right, we got to go. Niners-Packers next. That one. How about that one?
Yeah.
See that one?
I did see that one.
Rodgers.
I saw them all.
He lost.
Again.
Again. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're pushing Bengals Titans to last. Niners over the Packers, 13-10. What the hell? So 7-0 after the first drive.
And it was easy, right? I mean, they just carved him up. And so there was like this impending doom sort of thing that, oh boy, you know, we know the Niners needed to play this thing close to the vest. Grind it out and just try to keep it close. And it just looked like Green Bay was going to go up and down the field on them a la Kansas City and Buffalo. And then give the Niners credit, right? This is their formula. This is what they do. They play great defense. They run the ball. They don't beat themselves. And they take teams into the fourth quarter and see what happens. And they don't blink about being down. What were they down? 17-0 against the Rams? Whatever that was at the end of the year, I think it was the second to last week, and they needed to win that game. And, you know, they find ways, and their defense responded and made a really, really good Green Bay offense inept for three plus quarters.
The Niners are very strange to watch because they are very good. We know that their defense is excellent. But when you watch their offense, I mean, lost in all the fun of piling on Aaron Rodgers in that game was that the Niners did not score an offensive touchdown.
Nope.
And they won. And that's what's weird is you watch them and, you know, watching that first half and it's 7-0 and 7-0 and 7-0. I'm like, dude, Garoppolo, there's no way the Niners are going to win because they're not going to score 7 points.
No, it felt weird because even though it was only 7-0, then when it was 7-3, it never really felt like San Francisco.
No.
Is it in the game? It just never felt like Green Bay wasn't going to win.
Here's what it felt like. What it felt like was Green Bay just needs one more score and the Niners aren't coming back. Right?
Yeah.
Because their offense looks so bad. Well, I mean, Garoppolo you just didn't have faith that they were going to punch it in.
No. And, right? he had the Garoppolo pick, which you knew was going to happen, and the weather was bad. And
212 yards of total offense for the Niners. But as we told you about on Friday, the Green Bay special teams is the worst in the league.
It
came back to bite them.
If I would have told you before the game that the Packers hold the 49ers to 106 yards rushing, 3.5 yards per carry, did they win by 20, right? Green Bay's
100%.
Green Bay's defense did everything that you could ask of them, and it wasn't enough because you're right. Time and time again, right? They allowed the big return from Debo. They had, obviously, the punt block. You had the only bringing out 10 guys.
Field goal block.
And then only allowing 10 guys or bringing 10 guys out on the field to try to block San Francisco's game-winning field goal. It was a meltdown of galactic proportion. Like, you...
Yeah.
I mean, I get that you have the worst special teams in the league, but my God, that many times in one game?
Who's their special teams coach?
I forget what his name is, but everyone keeps asking all year, like, why wasn't he fired? And even before the game, Matt LaFleur, someone was asking him about keys to the game, and LaFleur said something to the effect of, you know, we just hope that our special teams doesn't come back and bite us. Like, you knew going into the game your special teams was that bad, and they let that donkey hang around all year. It had been atrocious all year.
Maurice Drayton?
Yes.
That's their special teams coordinator.
Yeah.
Apparently, they went on the cheap on their special teams coach and paid a massive price. Although, Rodgers, I mean, come on. Some of this is on Rodgers, dude. What the hell?
20-29, 225.
You're Aaron Rodgers.
No touchdowns, no picks. 91 quarterback rating, but you still produced 10 whopping points.
I mean, I don't know, like, give the Niners credit, but when we watch Mahomes do what he did against the number one defense, and you watch what Josh Allen does, and you watch what Tom Brady does, even Stafford, how is it that Rodgers can't muster up more than 10 points?
This is what I've said about Aaron Rodgers.
It's very confusing
to me, because when you watch him play, he's as good as anyone that has ever played the position, right? He's got all the tools you could want.
It's incredible.
And yet, playoffs, time and time again, and some of this, you know, he isn't always surrounded by the best cast, and I still don't think that his offensive talent is overwhelming, but neither is Jimmy Garoppolo's, for Pete's sake.
Brady never was.
No, Brady's wasn't.
Well, and, I mean, that sounds like a slight on his. Brady never had the greatest weapons.
No, he didn't, except the one year, and they didn't even win the Super Bowl that year. And it is puzzling to me that time and time again, that in these moments when Aaron Rodgers is a number one seed or wins 12 or 13 games, that you get into these moments. And I do think that Aaron Rodgers, even when he doesn't play bad, because I don't think he played bad in this game, he also didn't play extraordinary. And when you look around the league at some of the other guys, see Josh Allen and see Patrick Mahomes. And I remember that the game where they flubbed that one to the Seahawks when Russ made the big comeback and he got outplayed. It's puzzling to me that someone who is as good as anyone to ever play that position fails in the biggest moments, or at least fails to rise up. And 5 of 12 on third down just isn't good enough. And I get you didn't have your left tackle, and I get that you were under duress, but 10 points, that's a tough one to swallow. And I think that too is probably the last game you've seen from Aaron Rodgers. Much like I said with Tom Brady, I think both of these guys have something in common, that at this point they're not interested in just playing. Right? They're trying to win another championship. Everyone says that people close to Aaron Rodgers know that he's very well of his legacy and he knows he needs one more. But Green Bay is in one of the worst salary cap situations in the NFL. They're $40 million over the cap. And when he said, I don't want to be interested in a rebuild, what he's talking about there is he knows that they can't bring back this same group, that tough decisions are going to have to get made. The Devontae Adams of the world, slashes are coming to this roster. So if Aaron Rodgers does choose to come back to Green Bay, he's coming back with a lesser roster than he's had the last 2 years when they've bowed out after being the number one overall seed in the NFC.
Everyone dunked on Rodgers after the loss.
Oh, yeah. It was pile-on city.
Some of the finer social media moments. Keith Olbermann tweeting, once again, we all mistakenly believe Aaron Rodgers had a shot.
Bah.
You get it?
I get it. Oh, yeah.
Somebody else wrote, boy, you hate to see Rodgers not even get a shot. Mm-hmm. Everyone stop making fun of Aaron Rodgers. He hates being needled.
All right, I kind of enjoyed that one.
And then we had, what else? Aaron Rodgers delivering on his Super Bowl boycott promise. Haven't seen Aaron Rodgers in that much disbelief since he went to a dinosaur exhibit.
They just keep coming.
Aaron Rodgers looks like he can't believe he lost. Probably wants to do his own research.
That one may be my favorite.
That's good stuff.
My
internet's great.
He is. He's such an interesting guy because he's so talented. I was watching the game. It was my dad's birthday. My dad's a big diehard Packer fan. My grandfather was from Sheboygan, so he's a big Packers guy. And we were watching that. We were at a pizza place and we were watching the game. And you know, they block the kick and it's like, oh my gosh, are they going to flub this thing away? And it was weird. My dad, diehard Packer fan, is wearing full Packer regalia, by the way. He's got a Packer jacket on, Packer hat. And he goes, man, this one would sting, but you know what? Seeing Rodgers lose, he goes, it makes me feel a little better. It's just a weird dynamic between someone that's really the best to ever do it at that franchise. And there's been some really good ones
because of his vaccination thing.
I just think he is, I don't think it's necessarily just the vaccine thing. I think it's the smarminess. I think it's the way the vaccine thing has gone about. I think it's this, will he or won't he thing. I just know that from a lot of Packer fans, they just are kind of done with him. And I said, man, be careful. Because if this is the end of Aaron Rodgers, welcome to the Jordan Love era, and you ain't going to the playoffs for a while. And he was like, yeah, well, that's true, and I want him back. And so I think Packer fans are a little bristly right now at Aaron Rodgers. Be careful what you wish for, because if that guy moves on and you have to go through some slashing because of the salary cap situation, that rebuild that he was talking about, get ready for it. You're going to be bad for a number of years.
Also, Aaron Frodgers was trending on Twitter.
Frodgers and then
Throw Rogan.
Was the other one that was that was making the rounds.
My favorite one I saw was Breitbart Star.
Yeah, Breitbart Star. Marjorie Taylor Greene Bay or something like that.
Yeah,
was another
all
one.
Those. But hey, give credit to San Francisco. That defensive front.
They're great.
Bosa was an absolute animal. Fred Warner in the middle. The secondary held up. And then, man, they made special teams plays.
Well, yeah, they did. And here's the thing. They almost blew two special. They had two terrible special teams plays in the Dallas game.
Yes.
Like, their special teams was bad.
Yeah.
But they, Green Bay's obviously was just that much worse. Are they going to make the Super Bowl and be forced to keep Jimmy Garoppolo?
They've won six.
Or do they have the balls to go to another Super Bowl, Jimmy Garoppolo, lose to Kansas City again, and then punt on him?
They've owned the Rams. They've won six in a row. They are very capable of beating the Rams. They just did it a couple weeks ago to get into the postseason. They will not win a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo, and I do think they will have the guts to move on from him.
Think about how close they got to beating the Chiefs the first time.
One throw.
With Garoppolo.
And it was open.
So maybe they can win a Super Bowl with
you
Garoppolo.
I've said it all along. You can. I just don't think you will. But you can, because they were that close. And we've talked about this. When you have a defense that can hunt with four, and it changes the game, and it keeps you in every game, and then they're creative on their offensive scheme. But that was the part that was fascinating to me, is they couldn't run the ball against Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. They only ran the ball for 106 yards, and it didn't matter.
Special teams plays.
Special teams plays.
That scoop and score fumble was everything.
That was it. I just assumed that, and by the way.
Not fumble, but blocked.
Block. Punt. That's a Hufanga, that local kid, by the way, down in Corvallis. But that, I couldn't believe that at no point Rodgers and Green Bay couldn't come up with one extra drive to ice that game away and let him hang around.
The only thing Rodgers hates more than science is playing the Niners in the playoffs. 0-4. What? That wasn't even a joke.
I know. I just.
The Niners drafted Alex Smith over Aaron Rodgers, and they've been to more Super Bowls than Rodgers, and they're 4-0 straight up against him in the playoffs. Think about that.
You know, he is.
Better franchise, man.
He will go down, in my mind, as the best. He won a Super Bowl, so you can't. He just was so good.
He's not the greatest ever.
No, and I don't think he can
People want to make him the greatest ever, but he's just not.
I don't even think you can put him in that conversation. And to a larger extent, I think you look at the Green Bay organization and their inability to go out and surround their quarterbacks with better talent. I think it's disgraceful that you went for 30 years. You went from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. You had 30 years of that, and you have two Super Bowls. I think that is a gross mismanagement. And yes, you can put some of that on Rodgers and Favre. I do think a lot of that goes on the front office of Green Bay for not surrounding them with better talent.
And finally, a text. Aaron Rodgers could still go to the Super Bowl if Mike Pence has enough courage.
All right. That's a new favorite.
That's great.
That's fantastic.
All right. Last but not least, Bengals-Titans next on The Fan.
Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Well, we saved the bastard game for last, the first one, and it was good, too.
Yeah,
Bengals beat the Titans 19-16.
That's the one narrative that I'm a little thrown off by, and I get why, because he's young and exciting, but come on. Like,
Burrow?
Joe Burrow.
That he played great?
Yeah, there's this idea that, like, oh, Joe Burrow. I'm like, what? Did you not watch the game? And I get he's under duress, and he got sacked 9 times, but I just thought we
nine.
Were... Nine times! Nine! The only reason...
That's unbelievable!
The only reason Cincinnati won that game is because Ryan Tannehill decided to be the worst quarterback. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo was better than Ryan Tannehill. So, I mean, Burrow was good, but I mean, he was 28 of 37 for 348, no touchdowns, and he had the pick.
Well,
so
I felt like.
Let's not make Joe Burrow out that he was Joe Montana out
well,
there.
People like Burrow.
350 yes. yards passing, still pretty great, Suk.
Yeah, they like Burrow. But everybody likes Burrow.
Yeah.
And by the way, Jackson Mahomes has basically pitted the entire country against the Chiefs. So we're all
that's true.
Bengals fans.
Yes.
We just like Burrow. He's got a swagger. We saw him win the college title in epic fashion. And
I
here
like
he
the
is.
Kicker swagger more than him.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Kick, or is it Kick Pearson?
Yeah.
Here he is in his second season, and he's the first quarterback drafted number one overall to reach the title game in his second season. So he's special. I still am going to need someone to explain to me how Dwayne Haskins beat him out at Ohio State.
Yeah. He couldn't get on the field at Ohio State.
Dwayne Haskins beat him.
Yes.
Is that another stain on Urban Meyer? Like, what the hell? What are you watching?
Supposedly, Urban Meyer thought that Joe Burrow was dog ass and like would rip him apart. Yeah, crapped all over him.
Well, it seemed to me in that game, and you're right, Burrow was, he was getting his ass kicked. That's the thing about Burrow is he has had a really good year with no offensive line.
No.
Like, they suck.
Yeah, it's statistically one of the two worst offensive lines in the league. And Tennessee,
imagine Garoppolo with that offensive line.
He'd be dead. He'd never finish a
game. Well, he'd have 8,000 picks. And Burrow just, so I think that's what it is about Burrow. He was getting destroyed, and many times they were blitzing him.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the hell Zach Taylor's doing, but it didn't seem like they were ready for Tennessee to blitz him because Burrow had no out.
No.
He just, his receivers had their back to him.
Well, and someone should probably block Jeffrey Simmons at some point. Maybe just an idea. So I feel bad for Tennessee because that is.
Well, they blew it.
They blew it, right?
I mean, come on, dude. Mike Vrabel, I don't know what to make of him. Sometimes I think he's an excellent coach, and other times I think he's dog crap.
They kept trying to force the ball to Derrick Henry, and it wasn't working.
Could they have played any more scared down the stretch?
No. There were times that I was counting that they were running into nine-man boxes. Nine, like, literally, outside of one guy, they were all within, like, 7 to 8 yards. It was an eight-man box with the nine creeping in there. And they still, like, that's how little he trusts Ryan Tannehill. But at the same time, I can kind of understand why, because Ryan Tannehill's terrible.
Well, he threw three. Tannehill was just awful. If Tannehill doesn't pass, a buddy of mine sent this to me. He's like, I kid you not, in this game, if Ryan Tannehill simply does not throw a football,
they win.
A la Mac Jones in that Buffalo game.
Yes.
They win the game.
Yes.
And that is correct.
Yeah.
But the Titans got the ball back tied with I think 2:45 left.
And then proceeded to have the worst clock management in the history of football.
Oh, my God. They played like they were playing for overtime. What were they doing?
And then
Vrabel's an idiot.
And then they turned him loose on that third down ball, and he throws it basically into double coverage with no separation. Like, that's the one you decide to try to force in?
And here's another thing.
And some people, I saw the announcer was like, well, the ball was tipped. Yeah, it was tipped because he was throwing it to a defender when he was suction cupped to the receiver.
I don't get the Titans, man. But I get it. When you have a quarterback like that, it's hard to hide him. You know, I mean, a lot of coaches are dealing with that. Tannehill's just not had a very good year, but they had Derrick Henry back. And then on the prior series where they could have really taken control of the game, they had a third and one down in Cincinnati territory, and they freaking ran Tannehill.
Yep.
You have Derrick Henry back there and you ran Tannehill. Well, of course he gets stuffed. Now you give it to Henry on fourth and one, and he stopped.
Yeah, he kind of trips and stumbles.
I didn't think that. I thought he stopped. Like, sometimes these guys.
Well, he stopped early in the game too on a fourth down. And well,
but
on
I feel like
conversion.
You're Derrick Henry, dude. Put your head down.
Yeah.
You can run over anyone. You need 1 yard. Do not stop and shuffle around. Just plow forward. You're going to get the yard.
Henry was
right?
Henry was not the same player, and yet Tennessee had no other option. So they just
the other guy was running pretty well.
Yeah, Foreman.
So they did have another option. See, none of this makes any sense. Derrick Henry literally stopped on the play as if he just didn't have any faith in what was in front of him.
Yeah.
It makes no, it just makes no sense. I don't get it.
They were bad.
I don't get it. I don't understand Vrabel. I don't understand the Titans. I don't understand Henry. One of my biggest pet peeves in football is, and I've said this before, is when skill players dance around like they're somehow going to be Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
Dude, you're going to get wrapped up and you're going to lose 5 yards because defensive players are too fast nowadays. Like, you're not freaking Barry. Run, hit a hole and go forward.
Especially when you're Derrick Henry size.
And exactly. And Derrick Henry did that multiple times, and the kick returners always do it. They dance. Dude, it's like they give you the ball at the 25 yard line if you don't return it.
Yeah.
And these returners will take it out of the end zone and dance around and get to the 20. I'm sorry. That's fireable. I'm your coach. You're fired.
Well, if
so, I don't understand why they do it. And I couldn't believe, of all people, Derrick Henry was the one that did that on really the biggest play of the game.
Yep.
Because it wasn't the biggest, but at the time they could have really seized control of that game and he's just dancing around there like Barry Sanders. It makes no sense at all.
Henry didn't play well. Tannehill couldn't have played any worse. You were one for eight on third down, and yet you still had a chance to win the game, and then Ryan Tannehill was Ryan Tannehill.
Well, what did the other guy get? The other guy ran for...
Oh, he only had like four or five carries. He had the one big one that he broke off, and then he only had
Deontay Foreman.
Yeah, he only had the...
Four carries, 66 yards.
Yeah, and one of them was the 45-yarder, so, you know, he only had the three other carries. But what was I saying? Not all interceptions are created equal, right? Sometimes you got a guy runs a wrong route, you get hit as you're throwing. You know, you can't just say that the interceptions are all quarterback's fault. Those interceptions were worst, and worst. Like, they were all...
I believe you mean worstest.
They were just all pathetic. Like, the first one, the first play of the game, what the hell are you doing? The one, I guess you could give the guy credit on the little screen pass, but the guy's jumping, and you threw it right into his face. What are you doing? And then the last one, again, it was the worst of them all, that you try to force it in at that point. You decide to be Brett Favre. Like, none of those.
Titans gacked.
None of those interceptions are anything other than Ryan Tannehill just being awful. And I tried to defend Tannehill because I think sometimes he gets a bit of a bum rap. And I think he's better than people make him out to be. And they've done a good job with him. And I think he earned his contract. But when you look at this season and you look going forward with Tannehill, I think this is a little bit like what Minnesota had to deal with. It's tough because it's not like quarterbacks grow on trees, but you're starting to see Tennessee maybe with a Cleveland or a Minnesota-like ceiling that you just don't know if your quarterback's going to eventually take you where you need to go. I don't know how you go find a better one, because it's not like Tannehill's terrible. He doesn't show up in big moments, and he's not a superstar. But I just don't think that in the AFC, when you've got Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, possibly Deshaun Watson coming over at some point if he ends up in Miami. I don't care how good your run game is. I don't care how good your defense is. If that's Ryan Tannehill that we saw this year, if that's anything close to what he's bringing to the table, you will never, ever get to a Super Bowl having to go through those teams and those quarterbacks if Tannehill is your guy.
Well, there are a lot of choke jobs out there this weekend, and I think the Titans are getting overlooked because of that. Yeah. Like the Rams, dude, that was the most inexplicable implosion I've ever seen. It's just that the Rams,
they
ended up winning, so we don't have to harp on it. But the Titans, low-key, totally blew it. I mean, they had 9 sacks and lost.
Yep. Well, 9 sacks, we found 9. Out, is not any better than 3 picks.
God. Did you know that was Cincinnati's first road playoff win ever?
I didn't know it was the first.
Ever.
I did not know that.
And now they're going to go get housed by Kansas City.
Look, I'm rooting for Cincinnati, but yeah. I
Chiefs
kinda,
are winning that game by 30.
I kind of get
but,
that feeling.
But what too. If they don't?
Maybe
what
8.
What
18.
If they don't? Well, they beat them earlier this year.
I have it 31-13. You don't even need to play it.
Mark it 8,
lock
dude.
It up.
What if the Bengals win?
It'll be amazing. Cincinnati and
I'm
San Francisco, but I think you're going to get... I think
Cincinnati
gonna,
and San Francisco?
I think you're going to get the Rams.
Because you know Kansas City's defense ain't anywhere near as good as the Titans is. So.
No.
All right. We'll have more hot, super hot football talk tomorrow. Let's get to the club. We're already way late. It is 6:06 on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.